Adelaide?
Javier?
Do you know what I like this week?
I do not. What did you like this week?
I'm not going to take too much time on this, but I'm going to tell you that I like this week and for a long time, ROH, Ring of Honor. Now, I know we talk about AEW, but I like ROH. Always have. It's given us some great wrestlers. For example, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. Just wrestlers that you can love. Situations that you can enjoy. And if you're an AEW fan and you're not an ROH fan, then you didn't see Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page. That's the thing, is that ROH brought a great deal to the wrestling world. Gave second life to some WWE and Impact guys, and gave a first life to a whole lot of indie wrestlers. They have been such a good company for so long. Unfortunately, they announced today that they'll be taking a hiatus in the first quarter of 2022. That their contracted wrestlers will not be getting new contracts. They'll finish their contracts for this year. And anyone whose contracts extend beyond January 1st, they'll be paid through March 31st, 2022. That lets us believe that, unfortunately, even though they might not be going out of business, this is a company that I'm going to go into it. I'll do a whole thing talking different sources. But for right now, that's what I like, because I've forgotten how much I really appreciated that company during the hardest part of the pandemic last year. But I absolutely like them and I absolutely respect them. So, Adelaide, not to be a downer, let's think about the things that we liked that are upbeat.
Okay, no pressure. mine is definitely not as serious as yours.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I would say, and it just happened to me yesterday, so it's top of mind for me right now. My car battery died.
No.
It's very sad.
Sounds sad.
And I work from home, thankfully. So today I had to have food for the rest of the week for dinner and whatever. And I just tried to figure out what I could do without having to drive a car. And I had food delivered. And I liked it.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to get food delivered.
Not like, you know, pizza or like Chinese. I mean, they actually delivered some groceries. I had a couple of like household products delivered that I was running low on. It was may or may not be a good thing, but I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, that means if you don't have to go out as much, the next book is definitely coming out soon.
God, I hope so.
Well, let's hope together. This, ladies and gentlemen, is We Like What We Like.
Welcome.
My name is Javier Augusto. With me, as always, is Adelaide Laurie.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So, tonight we have Dynamite. Back on Wednesday, finally.
Yay.
Right. Now, we're going to keep with the format we went with last week. I think that was a really good format.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what we're going to do now is... we're going to go, and we'll see you after the first segment.
We'll see what's next.
First match. Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
It was good.
You know what? I like a good technical match, and Bobby Fish and CM Punk, which was the very first match, good technical match.
It was a technical match, yes. That is exactly how I would describe that.
And the thing is, AEW is doing a very good job. They've brought in some really good technical wrestlers.
Yeah. Now,
commentary is putting over how these two guys are evenly matched with similar striking styles and how the rivalry is going back to Rampage and now Dark, because they keep putting over Dark and how much that goes. But the match, they could have built it tonight and it would have been fine.
Yeah, I mean, it started out with them putting holds on each other. I'm not even going to attempt to name them. And then there were knee kicks from Bobby Fish.
They're kicks or their knees. They are not knee kicks.
I don't understand. They kicked and they hit him with the knee. That's a knee kick.
Adelaide, you're doing it just to get my goat. You're doing it to get my goat.
Do you guys think I'm doing it just to get his goat? They're knee kicks. And then CM Punk did some kicks where the knee landed on the other person.
Do you see? Or do you just hear? I didn't mean see. Do you hear what she's doing?
They're on my side. They're knee kicks.
All right. Bobby Fish actually had a really good sequence where he got a little bit more high flying. And again, this goes back to what I mentioned about ROH, where you have guys like Bobby Fish who came out of ROH and CM Punk who came out of ROH. And both these guys show everybody what pro wrestling is about. There are different flavors to pro wrestling, and they do a good job. Then Bobby Fish jumps out of the ring. He's on the apron. He comes back in a senton, like a pull-in swing senton, but he lands with a headbutt. So it's like the back of his head hits CM Punk. It's a very cool move. You don't see it very often anymore. That's like old WWE style, but it's still really good as a wrestling move.
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly Bobby Fish getting some work done on CM Punk's leg, kicking and holding and twisting around, and you know, it was the whole match. It's the whole match, and CM Punk was selling it. So it was very technical. I agree with how you described it. So it was good. There was a one-legged elbow drop from CM Punk from the top rope.
He did balance very well. He did very balanced very well. Couldn't be outdone by Dante Martin last week. So he has to, weeks ago. So he had to jump from one leg from the turnbuckle. He's such an egotist.
If I had one thing to say to CM Punk, I would tell him, do not try to compare yourself to Dante Martin's flying ability. You know, those years have passed you. Do what you do best.
He's so egotistical. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to bury CM Punk. He's the most egotistical guy in that roster. He's going to ruin that roster. He's a poison to it. He's cancer.
Stop it. Moving on. He doesn't believe that.
Not even a little. But I'll keep pushing that narrative just to get me over. You know, just cheap heat.
No, oh, okay. Yeah.
Honestly, it was a very good match. There's a Tope Suicida. CM Punk dives to the outside. He's on the apron, and Bobby Fish just roundhouse kicks him to the leg, and it looks brutal when Bobby Fish does it.
Yeah.
It's a sweep, but it looks brutal. That happened. We continued into a small sequence, and then we got
a GTS, a go to sleep.
That counts as your move.
I'm very proud. Let me bask.
I'm basking.
Yep, there's the bask. Okay.
Yeah, it got brighter in here. So much basking.
It wasn't any good because he kicked whatever. Didn't happen.
Bobby Fish took control of the leg when he came down for the go to sleep and did a dragon screw on him. So the knees just keep getting worked and worked and worked. There's a lot of knee bits. It's really good. There's a lot of different segments where he just keeps going after the knee, just working him over, showing the technical aspect of the match.
And then there was a fumbly bit at the end where CM Punk got to do the GTS again on the bad knee.
There was a lot that went into that. Yes, he did it on the bad knee. It looked like it hurt him very badly. He laid there. He crawls over to Bobby Fish and pulls the pin. And he gets the one count, the two count, and in my opinion,
the three count?
In my opinion, Bobby Fish kicked out.
The three count.
All right. Adelaide is of a mind that it was a three count with a kick out just after. My opinion is that the kick out happened before and the referee just wanted the finish to be the finish.
Well, let me ask you. How many people have kicked out of the go to sleep?
I don't know. I've seen it 2-3 times.
So not very often.
No, not often at all.
So here's my thought on the matter. I think they timed it so that it was on the three count, so that he kind of kicked out, but it was just a touch too late. At least I hope that's what they were selling, because I was buying that.
All right. I can go for that. I like the way it ended because CM Punk looks up at the ref like, are you sure?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... I kind of like the, he kicked out, but not enough, so.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. Let's see how this plays out. You know what I always say? Let it play out.
But what did you like best about this match?
Actually, I liked how technical the match was in general, but it really was how they left me. I liked CM Punk looking up at the ref going, are you sure? That felt like he kicked out.
Interesting. I'm not too much of a technical match. Like, for me, it was okay to watch, but, like, if this is what wrestling was, like, every match, we wouldn't be here. So, there's that.
I'd be here.
Yeah.
I would be here.
But my favorite part also was CM Punk, but I liked in almost the beginning where he did a couple of slams.
Yep.
and then smirked. I like the, yeah, you like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a part of the beginning of the match where Bobby Fish sort of went after his leg, but CM Punk turned it on him and got him.
Yeah. I like the smirk. It was like, meh, meh.
Meh, meh?
Meh, meh. Nanny, nanny. But masculine. Not so me.
Nanny, nanny, but masculine.
That's what I said.
I'm going to never forget that.
Somebody write in and tell me what the masculine verse of nanny, nanny is.
I'm done. We'll see you guys after the next segment.
The house always wins.
Wow.
At least that's what we were told.
Well, I mean, I've been told that for many years since I can't win in Vegas.
I went on the penny slots.
Do you?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. I come in with $20. I leave with $25. Winner!
I mean, that's up. That's 25% increase. Nobody gets odds like that.
Anyways, we started out with Malakai Black giving us a nice little promo about how he made the Nightmare family lose faith in Cody.
Correct.
He divided the Nightmare family.
Did say that.
And he made the crowd hate him.
Yeah, he took credit for the organic booing of Cody. I think it was good.
I'm interested now.
Well, I'm re-interested in this feud.
Now, if Arn could, like, go away for a little bit.
He's not going to go away. His son is wrestling.
That's fine. Then manage his son.
In fact, actually, you know what? Just so that we can beat on this point just one last time.
Yeah.
The storyline with Cody would have been better with Brock.
I don't know. See, here's what I think. I think he should turn to the whole Nightmare family and say, look, thank you for all that you've done. I have to do this on my own. I have to figure out if I can do this by myself. And then he fights Malakai Black alone.
And loses.
Whatever.
Yeah, he loses.
And then he can go away and spend time with his little baby girl. And his woman and his wife. Not that they're two different people. I meant the same person.
I was going to edit it until you cleared it up. Other than that, I was like, yeah, we're good.
And then we don't edit.
Edit? What's that?
What's that? And then, you know, and then he come back and figure out what he wants to do.
I agree that that's good. I think that you're... probably should be a writer.
Or he, you know, that's not a bad idea. Would you people buy a book if I wrote one? Let me know.
All right.
I'll write one.
Yeah. An Adelaide Laurie original. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Or,
here's a fun idea. He could come back and we won't even know it. He could, like, put a mask on and join somebody else and be a tag team. Just a thought.
Adelaide has shown that she is such a mark, she started watching Dark.
I never said that.
All right, sure. I agree with you. He's coming back in a lucha gimmick.
Okay. And then next we had MJF and his, what do you call him? I forgot. Dang it. I need to start using it.
Accountability buddies?
Yes, the accountability buddies.
God.
Sean Spears and Wardlow. Hashtag free Wardlow.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, they came out. MJF has probably yet one of the most, and there's a different flavor of wrestling here. You get this really intense, beautiful narrative of a wrestling match, physical storytelling in the match. The story was, and I'm just going to give you the whole story because it was amazing. It was MJF shakes a man's hand, a local enhancement talent by the name of...
Bryce Donovan.
Yep, thank you. Bryce Donovan shakes MJF's hand. MJF kicks him in the stomach, whips him into the turnbuckle, throws him onto the apron while holding onto his head, pulls him through the ropes, puts Bryce Donovan's head between his legs, and then hits him with the heat seeker, pulls him in, licks his index finger, puts it on Bryce Donovan's chest, and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. Narratively speaking, that teaches you don't trust anyone. And I think that that's just one of those great stories that you can only tell in wrestling.
I don't know if it's don't trust anyone, but don't trust someone who was booed as he walked the entire length of the ramp.
Oh, the entire way down. Was booed the entire way down. Bryce Donovan, an unknown, that just happens to be from Massachusetts, an unknown, got a huge pop. At least 6,000 people just cheering for him. MJF is such a heel. People cheer the guy that goes against him automatically.
Well, yeah.
So if you get a pop you've never gotten before and the other guy gets booed, maybe shaking that guy's hand, not the best idea you ever had. I'm telling you, that is a beautiful narrative story in my opinion.
Yeah.
But after that, what we really got was what this was all about. It wasn't really so much a match, but it was an angle. We got MJF cutting a promo on the city of Boston.
A promo.
You're not. He cut a promo on the city of Boston. He said that they love to cheer losers, which is why they cheer for Darby Allin. That their women are disgusting. And
fat. And he would not stick his unit in any of
them. He would rather
stick it in a blender.
And he did a fantastic imitation. I mean, it was spot on for women from Boston. Well, mothers from Boston. Hada, MJF. Hada. Which I thought was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, whatever. And thank you for listening.
I'm totally cutting that out. Now we get a promo segment that ends with Sting's music coming on and the screen going to Sting stuff. And then it's the old Shawn Michaels bit. Shawn Michaels in Montreal after his return to Montreal after the screw job plays Bret Hart's music. Everybody cheers. He lets it play for the first minute and then shuts it off and says, "That guy's out of here. You're not getting what you want," and laughs at the crowd. MJF did a Sting bit. Sting's not a hometown guy from Massachusetts, but he does it. And then he goes, "That's a gag."
Oh, he didn't. He fell on the floor rolling and laughing.
Well, Sean Spears also.
Like a child. And wow. Sean Spears also. Wardlow, by the way, I have to tell you, was standing in the middle of the ring going, "What is happening?" Free Wardlow.
My goodness. This is what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Wardlow's on and you're just going to do a free Wardlow?
Yes.
Okay. Then.
You were warned.
Then the lights go out. MJF says, "Ha ha, funny Sean." Sean says, "That's not him." Lights get back on and Sting's in the ring.
With Mr. Bat.
He hits Sean Spears in the chair with the bat, which immediately takes all the power out of Sean Spears. That's immediate. And
well, yeah, because his loved one has now been assaulted.
That's true. It's true. He then hits Wardlow in the face with the bat.
He did. Rude.
Adelaide was very sad.
Upset. Inconsolable. Yeah. Don't know what happened in the rest of this thing because it's upset.
MJF goes out of the ring, is hiding in the corner, went the wrong way, truth be told.
Or did he?
And then a man dressed as the Invisible Man takes off the face wraps and the sunglasses to reveal Darby Allin. Darby then chases him. MJF runs away. Darby Allin gets a skateboard with thumbtacks on it and whacks Wardlow in the back with it. Poor Wardlow.
Why?
Okay, it'll be fine.
That's true. It's probably like 10 feet of muscle on that back. It probably didn't even hurt him.
My gosh. Let me tell you guys, it is true. They do watch it for the eye candy.
That's not true.
Just helps.
Of course it does.
Okay. Now me, I'm completely a person that sees wrestlers for their talent and not their bodies or their faces. I don't even know what half of the women in AEW look like.
Lies. Propaganda.
So after that, MJF is at the top of the ramp and Darby Allin grabs a microphone and says, "Max, full gear," and then drops the mic. And I thought that was a very good segment. It ended well.
Yes.
So I think we're in a good place for this rivalry. I think the rivalry, it did not weigh it did not stay its welcome.
No.
I think this rivalry has been very solid.
Agreed. And then, you know, MJF said after Darby, then he's coming for the heavyweight title. Heavyweight title? World championship title.
World championship title. Yes.
There's too many belts for my brain.
Not in this company.
In all companies.
Well, we don't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay, moving on. Let's see what's next. Only one of us gets to cry.
All right, fine. We'll see you guys after the next segment. I believe that Tony Khan listens to our podcast.
Oh, he's my best friend.
It has to be the case. And I'll tell you why I know that this is true.
Why is that?
Because this promo segment, the last promo segment, all happened with matches attached.
So this promo segment being Britt Baker?
Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD.
Mark.
Fine.
We had Sammy Guevara versus
Ethan Page.
Everybody's barred from ringside.
But are you going to talk about the promo or did you skip right over it?
I'm just talking about what happens in this.
Why?
Because I felt that Tony Khan must be listening to us and I got really
I happy. Agree. He is. He's my best friend. What kind of a best friend doesn't listen to me?
You know what I think? I think it might be true.
I'm telling you.
You've been holding out on me.
No. Everybody, have I been saying it? TK, me. Like this.
She crossed her fingers. I mean, it's great audio content.
They knew. They're with me.
All right. Just get back into it. Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD.
Mark. Did come out and she's out there with Tony Schiavone.
Jamie Hayter. And Rebel.
Yes. And Tony Schiavone asks that... Oh, I'm sorry. Tony Schiavone says that Dr. Britt Baker is going to face off with
Abaddon?
Well, yeah, she spoke about Abaddon, but she was talking about Ty Conti and how she's going to face Ty Conti at Full Gear.
Right.
But Tony Schiavone jumps in and says, if you're still the champion.
Right.
Which is where Dr. Britt Baker gets all like, Tony, what do you mean if I'm still the champion?
Right.
And then he lets us in on the fact that there was a cruise.
I told you there was a cruise last week.
I mean, you mentioned the cruise, but then
That's why Jericho was gone.
Yeah, but then I thought there can't possibly be a cruise because they're not televising it.
Yeah, but they only televised it last season or year because we were in COVID.
I mean, do they think that we don't want to see the cruise?
I don't want to see the cruise. I want to be on the cruise. And then if I'm on the cruise and I'm in a bathing suit, I don't want cameras following me around. Not that they're following me around, but.
Okay. Here's the reality. Adelaide, you're a author.
Yes.
You're not a bestseller yet. We're there almost.
Sure. In my head.
But
bestseller.
But your fans, if you're on the cruise, your fans would be on the cruise.
Sure.
So it stands to reason, just objectively thinking.
Yeah.
It stands to reason that they would be following you around with cameras anyway. So what difference does it make?
But those cameras wouldn't be shown on television.
Well, they'd be shown on the tubes, the YouTube.
I don't think my crowd is YouTubing it up.
Watch. They're going to be hitting you on
the anyways. YouTube.
There's going to be a hashtag, Adelaide Laurie.
Moving on.
All right, fine. So then they state that Tony Khan, or as you call him, TK, has said that because she walked away from her match with Abaddon on the cruise, she still has to face Abaddon. Says these are sanctioned matches, and she has to face Abaddon.
Yes.
Next week on
Rampage.
This week. Rampage.
Yep.
On Rampage. Sorry about that. Then.
And no DQ.
Which she kind of grinned about.
Well, I mean, she has Jamie Hayter and Rebel. So no DQ means anyone can jump in for her.
Anybody can jump in for her, which means
Abaddon
could have backup.
Wyndham Rotunda, are you listening?
I don't think it's Wyndham, but I do have the idea that it could be Sue Young or it could be Rosemary.
Wyndham Rotunda, are you listening? I can dream. Don't kill the dream.
I'm not trying to kill anything. Just, okay, let's have the dream then.
Thank you.
All right, Wyndham Rotunda and Abaddon.
I mean,
she's from the Black Hills, so that's that whole swamp thing. That
scary, scary, scary plus scary equals extra scary.
I mean, if Wyndham does show up and do a fiend style gimmick, I think that'd be great. Again, we're hyping ourselves up on this.
Okay, moving on. So sorry, we are just in the weeds.
So what was next?
Ethan Page versus Sammy Guevara.
Spectacular. Really, actually, a very good match. I'm not going to talk about how Sammy Guevara bores the tears off me.
It doesn't bore the... You hate the juddy thingy with his mouth.
Yeah, what is with that?
Like, I am hulking up.
Yeah, what is that? Why does he stick his lower jaw out like that?
I think it already sticks out. So when he does the grr, it kind of sticks out even more because it's kind of crooked. So I think you're, you know, making fun of the infirmed.
You are really mean to me, Adelaide. But now I feel bad. Now that this is ruined for me, I can't even pick on Sammy Guevara anymore. You've taken my Sammy Guevara.
I don't think his jaw being slightly off center is infirmed. I was joking.
Okay, now I feel bad.
Okay.
You've ruined the entire thing for me. I can't even talk trash about Sammy Guevara.
I have to say, I do like his new shorts. They're red and black.
The wrestling trunks. Yeah,
the wrestling trunks.
Okay, absolutely. Sure.
Shorts, trunks.
They're not shorts. Those are trunks.
Whatever.
The shorts have, like, they go down the leg a little bit.
His went down the legs.
No, they didn't. Not even a little bit. Those are
trunks. Well, now you know I don't watch it for the men because I wasn't looking at anything close to his package.
I mean, Sammy Guevara is like 12.
Anyways, moving on. Gross.
All right.
There's a lot of flippy, twisty things to the outside.
Sammy Guevara, I'm not even going to argue with you about that. Sammy Guevara flipped and twisted all over the place.
Before the bell even rang.
No,
they're outside doing scuffle and kerfuffle and...
I don't think those are technical terms.
Flip, twisty things.
That is technical. There was a flipping, twisting senton. He jumped off the top rope with a shooting star press, top turnbuckle. To a shooting star press.
Was that in the beginning?
No. That was after the match had started.
Okay, and then the bell rang, and then.
It's the play-by-play. Really, guys, it kills me. I really just want to be freewheeling, and she just wants to get all of the technical issues.
He wants
issues
to
in.
Be a flippy, twisty guy. We're talking about a wrestling match, and he just wants to flip and twist all over it.
Okay. All right, Excalibur. I'm sorry.
I'm coming for you, dude.
The way that it worked is Sammy Guevara just starts attacking him right before the bell even rings. So when they get going and the bell rings and the match actually starts, I get to see Sammy Guevara just wrestles really, really well. He has some very good moves.
Yeah.
And Ethan Page played the powerhouse in this, and I loved it. It
was really good work. A good evil dude.
Definitely.
Good evil dude.
I think that's a technical term too, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. So there are a couple of chops, a couple of kicks to the face.
Yeah.
And then Ethan Page does a backbreaker on the top turnbuckle.
Oh, right. Yeah, he has picked Sammy Guevara up, and he's on the second turnbuckle. He picks Sammy Guevara up in sort of a gut wrench and drops Sammy Guevara back first on the top turnbuckle. It's just a great-looking move.
And then I'm going to be completely honest with you. After that, they were inside and outside and flips and ropes, and I mean I was following the match. It was very entertaining, but I couldn't write down anything. I didn't know what they were doing,
and I would love to get into all of it, but most of it happened in picture, and
that's probably why
immediately turned off. It bugs me every time when it happens. I would still give the match its attention. I liked the match. If someone told me, hey, what did you think? Do you think it was a good match? The answer is yes, it was a good match.
Yeah.
I don't like it when AEW takes the matches with the most sort of exciting physical storytelling and puts it in picture-in-picture.
So on one side of the ring, Ethan Page kind of throws Sammy Guevara off like his shoulders, like throws him off.
Right.
And Sammy drops and rolls and lands on the other side of the ring. So catty corner to where they were.
Right.
So then a couple of things happen. And eventually Ethan Page is holding Sammy Guevara up behind his back.
Right. He's setting up for the Ego's Edge, which is basically like a razor's edge, except he throws them so that they sort of splash down on their back. It used to be called the Splashdown, but he calls it the Ego's Edge now.
Right, but with Sammy, with his broken nose, decides it was a good thing to, like, try a maneuver to get out from that.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of falls on his, in the ring, kind of to the side, while Ethan kind of goes flying. I don't know what was supposed to happen. It looked awkward to me.
It was a Hurricane Rana, and it was a Hurricane Rana. However, I think I think that Sammy Guevara was protecting himself because he does have a bit of a shiner because he did get his nose broken yesterday.
By Ethan. Yeah. Funny enough. And then Sammy does some kind of weird contrapted rollover kind of thing. I don't know what that's called.
He flipped over and held onto the ankle, held onto the legs while high stacking Ethan Page.
Sure. He said.
It's still a roll up. It's still not my favorite finish, but it, you know, when you have two guys wrestling at sort of a high level, it's a big deal.
So Sammy wins, which means he's still part of the inner circle and that he gets to pick the three other wrestlers in the match next week or Top Gear.
Full gear,
not Top Gear. Sorry, that's a whole other thing.
Yes.
And if you guys want us to talk about that, I'd be happy to do that too. I love that show. The original, not the...
Okay, I'd have to catch up. It's about cars with British people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so Scorpio Sky comes down.
Yes.
And then they start beating up Sammy Guevara.
Yes.
And then some music plays. What's that in the distance?
I think it's like generic hard rock, but the audience all knows the words.
Huh.
Yeah. So the inner circle all comes down, the reunited inner circle.
Yeah, all of them.
Santana, Ortiz, Hager, and of course Jericho. Let's think about the Pavlovian response that the audience gives. The moment the lyrics start on Judas and they just start singing, it's automatic. They're not even thinking. They're just going. And it's great.
I don't know what you're talking about because there's no Judas in my mind.
It's fun. Guys, I'm sitting here watching it and I've got an author that's written a couple books. I keep hitting on this because you think that there's a mentality in your head when someone says author, and it really is a complete mark out situation with her when Judas starts playing. It was hilarious to me.
It's a catchy little ditty.
Yeah, it's a bop.
I know. It's whatever.
So, yeah, that happens. Then they come out. Jericho cuts a good Jericho promo, called Dan Lambert a fat faced, nope, lies.
Pumpkinhead.
A pumpkin headed dipshit.
Yes.
And
ultimately, the one good thing that comes out of, not one good thing, I'm sorry, it was a good promo. The important thing that came out of his promo was that the Minneapolis Street Fight is now going to be their match with American
Jericho
Top Team.
Loves his stipulations. He just loves his stips.
And then we had Tony Schiavone with Eddie Kingston and Brian Danielson.
Yes. Where Eddie Kingston goes after Brian Danielson for saying that he doesn't work very hard, which I don't remember Danielson ever saying that Eddie Kingston didn't work hard. I do remember Brian Danielson saying that Brian Danielson works very hard. I don't know what to say about that after that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Adelaide and I are of two minds of that particular promo. I will say the following. Eddie Kingston has a very believable promo. The kind of promo that you look at it and go, that man is absolutely telling the truth. Because he's hard to not believe.
Well, I always think he puts a little bit of truth in his...
No, that's what I'm saying. It feels real. He can tell me anything.
Yeah.
He can tell me anything. He can tell me that it's because he has one left foot, but his left foot is bigger than his right, and that is why he is the way he is. And I'll be like, man, that absolutely has to be the truth. Brian Danielson sells the, I'm here to fight. I only want people that want to fight me.
I want to see that Eddie Kingston in the ring.
I want the angry ones. I want the ones that want to fight. I want to do that because I want to fight these guys and I want to beat these guys.
Yeah, and Eddie Kingston and Moxley are two of the toughest wrestlers around. So he's excited that they're going to wrestle on Rampage. So that should be fun.
Yes, because this is actually for the Eliminator tournament for the world title.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what's next.
Yeah, let's do the next segment.
Los Lucha Brothers tuvieron un promo hablando de FTR y qué tan ellos no son luchadores y los Lucha Brothers son los mejores en el mundo.
Javier says that was a good promo by the Lucha Brothers. No? How'd I do?
It's perfect.
Yo hablo español.
Yeah, okay. All right, don't adjust the audio, folks. I was just doing something different. Now, the Lucha Brothers started this next segment with a promo that they cut on FTR. Rey Fénix is back, so that's good stuff.
Yeah.
And Penta started it, said, hey, you know, FTR, you guys keep talking about how much you love Lucha, but you don't love Lucha. You're not the best. You don't understand the sacrifices that myself and my brother have had to go through in order to be the best Lucha tag team in the world. Alex Abrahantes was about to jump in.
Penta says.
And then Rey Fénix just jumped right in, tapped Alex, and just started talking. Except he did it in English.
Oh, I have no idea.
You don't remember what he said?
No.
He said, we know what you want.
You want the AEW tag team titles. And then Alex said, the Lucha Brothers said, which I like that too.
Did you remember what Alex said about it?
No.
He said, the Lucha Brothers say, you don't understand the sacrifice that it takes to be AEW tag team champions. And at Full Gear, they're going to put up the titles against you, FTR. And then Penta says, ustedes saben por qué? Porque nosotros somos los Lucha Brothers. Y tenemos cero miedo.
That's what I said.
I don't get to do too much Spanish. It was fun. All right. And
then that led us into the Serena Deeb
and Hikaru Shida match.
Yes.
It was a very good match.
It was reminiscent of the other match they had, which was very, very good.
I'm going to tell you right now, these two can keep wrestling.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah, please.
Yes.
The narrative is good. The storyline is good. Okay. So.
Well, like Serena again went for the knee because that's what she did the last time.
Right.
But this time Hikaru Shida was like, yeah, I've seen this one before. And so like had answers for some of these knee things that Serena was doing.
Right. And the thing is, the knee was already weak.
Right.
From the last time she worked it over. So the last time Serena Deeb worked it over. So that means that when she went for the knee and got one or two pieces of offense on the knee, Hikaru started immediately selling the weakness of the knee, which is great because if you're an AEW fan and you've watched it, you know why Hikaru Shida is not feeling 100.
Right.
But if you're brand new to it and you watch this match, A, you're watching an amazing women's match.
Yeah.
And two,
an amazing match.
I'm going to give you that one. All of my feminist friends, that's absolutely true. It was an amazing match. Their gender had nothing to do with it.
Right.
They were both professional wrestlers and they were good. And if you were new to AEW, you would have seen that. These two ladies had a fantastic match. And Hikaru Shida selling her knee, it made Serena Deeb. If you're brand new to this, you still saw Serena Deeb work over the knee, and it made it feel like Serena Deeb was, it sold itself. They are both very good at telling the story. They're very good at working the crowd and explaining to you. The crowd gave Serena love in the beginning, and then they stopped.
Well, it made Serena look like she was more of a heel because she kept going for the knee, even though she knew. So it's not like she was like, okay, fine, that knee hurt. I'll try something else. She's like, oh, heck no. I know your weakness and I'm going to destroy it. So that was, it makes her more of a heel, and it makes Sheeta more, look stronger, because she was able to counter, even though, like, she was in so much pain.
Correct. Right. And Hikaru Shida was a former women's champion in AEW, so you know that she's tough.
Yes.
And Serena Deeb, the commentary put it over, Serena Deeb was the NWA women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
So this really does, it builds a good narrative. And I'm sorry, it's a very good narrative. You can't argue it.
Yeah, it was a lot of really good back and forth with a couple of interesting little things on the outside where the first one was Sheeta used the stairs as like a launching pad for a kick. A flying kick?
A missile drop kick.
Missile drop kick. Whatever. What does a missile do? It flies. Who's right? I'm just saying.
Does it fly? Does All it? Right, cool.
Yeah.
It's the spot that Hikaru Shida does with a chair.
Right.
Except she had pulled out the chair. The chair got taken away from her by Serena Deeb. So now when Serena Deeb walked by the stairs, Hikaru Shida went immediately use the stairs. But she lands after the missile dropkick, immediately selling the knee, which is just chef's kiss.
So then Sheeta goes inside the ring, and there's a little bit of skirmish, I think, inside. And then Serena goes on the outside while Sheeta's still on the inside and wraps her legs around the pole that is next to the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Serena uses the stairs to do a figure four.
Very good. That's too many. That's too moves.
Oh my gosh. I feel so much pressure.
I'm so proud.
Thanks.
I mean, it is because you're auditioning for Excalibur's job that you're feeling all this pressure.
Am I auditioning? I thought I was in like Flynn.
Oh, yeah. You absolutely are.
Like, yeah.
You absolutely are.
Okay.
I thought it was great. It was, and JR, you know, and Tony Schiavone both put over that Serena Deeb was doing a spot reminiscent of Bret Hart's figure four post spot, which he would do to people. So it was very good to watch. I personally felt that it should have been a DQ, but it was.
You don't want her 50th win to be on a DQ. You don't want that.
I understand. I just felt that whenever you do that spot, that's the heel spot. You don't need anything more to tell your heel when you have that spot. Whatever.
Yeah. So then Serena does like a the same thing that she won with the last time. The half.
She didn't
crab.
She didn't set up the Serenity Lock.
Oh, it was a half crab.
Right. So she had a half crab.
Right.
Not the Serenity Lock. Right. The Serenity Lock is basically a tequila sunrise. So if you're a wrestling fan and you've seen Conan wrestle, that's his move. So Serena Deeb just looking amazing when she does it. Plus, she stacks it in a weird way when she does her Serenity Lock. It really does look devastating.
Right. Serena brings Sheeta back into the middle of the ring and kind of let's go or
tries to set it up, but Sheeta does get to the ropes.
No. That the get to the ropes was when she did an inverted figure four.
This is three.
I wrote it down.
You're amazing.
That one I cheated.
You're totally amazing. That's not cheating. That's how you learn.
Okay. And
I will someday tell you how I learned all of the moves I know.
This section of audio has been redacted from the original master for breaking kayfabe.
I mean, you're brilliant. That's what I meant to say.
All right. Now, we went from there to the, well, I guess we're going to call it the finish, but really it was Serena Deeb grabbing the 50th win trophy that they had made, that AEW had made for Sheeta, and bringing it in to the ring to hit Sheeta with behind Aubrey Edwards' back. She doesn't, because Sheeta, you know, gets the trophy away from her and is going to hit Serena Deeb with it. But then Aubrey Edwards is looking and Serena's like, no, don't do it. Hand out the heel thing, which is great. And then Serena's just going after that knee. And she tries to do the...
I thought this was where they did the little back and forth thing. And
right,
then,
but it starts with Serena Deeb trying to set up the... what does she call it? Inner peace or something? What does she call her?
I have no idea. He is totally asking the wrong person. However, I can tell you we are at the end of this match. And I have named whatever they just did. It is called the Roly-Poly Roll-Up.
It was a back and forth segment with attempted roll-ups. something that I personally think, when I don't like the roll-up as a distraction finish, I don't like the roll-up as a finish. However, when two talented wrestlers that are fairly evenly matched at the end of a long contest go back and forth in a roll-up setup, I like it very much. This is a thing that happens a lot more in Joshi than it does in American wrestling.
Sure.
But it is a very fun spot where you've got Serena going for a finish and then Shida countering that finish. And then Serena counters it and goes for another roll-up. And then Shida counters it again. And on the last one, she holds Serena down, gets the 1-2-3.
It was still a roll-up. They went from one side to the other side to the other side. It was the roly-poly roll-up. I've named it. You're welcome. AEW, feel free to use that.
I'm out of words.
Well, Shida won. Congratulations to her.
Yes, she did. She's moving on in the tournament to be the next TBS champion.
And then Serena beat the crap out of her with a chair.
Serena chop blocks her while she's getting her hand raised.
Knees, inside of the leg.
Yeah, she wrecked her.
She wrecked her.
She absolutely wrecked her. Then she puts her into the Serenity Lock and holds on until that gets broken up by the refs. I think she is probably the favorite to win the whole tournament.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
And I think that because she is such a good fan favorite and such a talented wrestler, I honestly think they need to keep her strong as a challenger for whoever actually wins it. So you can't have her drop it to Nyla. I think she's probably going to have a forfeit.
Oh.
She's going to be so weak, she's going to get beat very quickly.
I think she's going to get beat very quickly. I think it's going to be like an attack on the knee and everybody's going to be like, oh, well, if she didn't go for the knee. You know what I mean? Like that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like giving her an out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have my opinions on who it should be, but I've seen other people say it should be Jade Cargill. And so I have thought of something about Jade Cargill, and I think I'm going to do a bonus track. You guys let me know if you want me to do that. I had a dream. I have an idea. I think I can fix it.
Dreams have come into this. There are dreams now.
I mean, it was a dream. I have merch for Jade. And if they're listening, they're welcome to it. I just want a small percentage. So if you guys want, I will have a bonus track of my idea about Jade Cargill. What do you think?
I love the idea. I personally love the idea of you just doing bonus tracks.
Okay, we'll do. We'll see what everybody says.
All right. I will not be on that track.
You won't?
Well, it's a bonus track for you. Like, I'll introduce you if you want. Like, you know.
Oh, I don't care. It's fine.
It's not my thing. Okay. It's your thing.
So we went from that match to a promo with Lio Rush and Dante Martin, who, by the way, looks like he's in pain when Lio Rush is talking. He just looks in pain.
He looks a little defeated, yeah.
And I don't know if it's because he has to have... what they essentially said was that Mike Seidel hurt himself.
Yep.
Again. So what was going to be a tag team match between Lio Rush and Dante Martin versus the Seidel brothers is now going to be Dante Martin versus Matt Seidel. And... like, it just looks like it hurts his soul. Even though it's, like, the third time that they're going to be facing one another, Dante Martin and...
it's a rubber match, though. Matt won the first one, Dante won the second one, so this is a rubber match.
He just looks pained. He just looks like, dude, you're, like, I don't know, stepping on my foot? Get off. Like, I don't know. He just looks like, oh, God, why am I here?
Yeah, it does sound a little rough for the poor kid.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. I am going to wait patiently to see how the Lio Rush storyline plays out. I know he's good on the mic. I remember a few things from the WWE. So I'm waiting for it to like come to fruition before I have an opinion on it.
Okay. I will tell you that I believe that it'll probably be a good match when it finally happens for Lio Rush. But Dante Martin versus Matt Seidel in what I could argue would probably be a very good main event.
Oh, it's going to be entertaining to watch. The flippiness of it is like right up my alley.
I wonder what they'll do to innovate because they've already faced each other twice and have done some really clever things. I would love to see what they're going to do again.
I don't know.
It'll be fun. All right. So that was it. We're going to see the next segment now.
Yep. Let's see what's next. Perfect 10. Alas, not to happen. So sad.
Okay, well, here's the thing about 10.
No. So sad. I'm wallowing. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. So we had Moxley.
We've had basking and we've had wallowing.
I wallowed.
And you basked earlier.
I'm a writer.
I see.
I'm dramatic. Which is funny because I write mysteries, not dramatic.
Nope, you're right.
So, anyways, back to the thing.
I have no idea what writing genres are.
We had Moxley versus Ten in the tournament.
Yes.
Which you said the whole time, oh, Moxley's going to win. And for me, I had a glimmer of hope that Ten would maybe win.
He's over. He's not as over as Mox.
I love Ten. Anyways,
Mox loves the meatheads, though. She loves the big muscly boys.
I don't know what it is. I can't say I'm a muscle. Anyways, moving on. So Mox comes down and does his thing with the wild thing. This Ten does get a little bit of an entrance.
Yeah, he got it before Mox
did. Yeah. And then Moxley just goes at it.
Yeah, no, he beat him from pillar to post. He beat him bad.
Throws him into the stairs, rips partially some of his mask off of Ten's face.
Yeah, and then...
And then bites him.
Yeah.
And then Ten, like, you know, scurries to the corner to, like, perhaps do something. Or perhaps not do something. Like,
either he... I don't know that he didn't bleed the hard way. He bladed. I think he went too deep because it looked pretty gushy.
Yeah.
But they went to the finish pretty quick, and then the doctors were in the ring. I'll tell you right now, Mox didn't give Ten a bit. Mox...
I don't... I don't think he cut himself too deep. I think it's on purpose. I think the whole thing was on purpose. I think all of it was a callback to his promo from last week when he's like, I will do anything. I will do anything. I'm going to be an animal. I'm going to go through you like your paper, that kind of a thing. So I think that was his, it was his attitude walking in. It was his attitude during, and it was definitely his attitude. Like, he didn't pay attention to the crowd. It was just a different thing. And so I think he was setting the tone where I don't care about any of you. I'm going to do what I have to do and I'm going to win.
I'm going to tell you right now, Moxley versus Miro. This is going to be a great narrative.
Oh man.
It's not in the tournament, but it would be a great narrative.
Man, that'd be great.
Yes. So it was really intense. Moxley beat him. Honestly, Ten did get a couple moves in. He did get his pump kick.
A couple of chops.
That was really it.
Yeah. And then Moxley did the paradigm shift. You're welcome. And I think that's moves? Four. I don't know.
You're amazing. You're on fuego tonight.
And he won, and then he walked out. And so that was the end of that. It was legit. I think we've talked about it longer than it actually happened.
Actually, I think that might be true.
Yeah. And then we have Tony Schiavone and FTR.
Yes.
Answering back.
Yeah, clapping back at the Lucha Brothers. So FTR states that they've been waiting for this. Of course, they accept the challenge. Of course, that's what they wanted. Because you guys have been living in this dreamland that we're not going to beat you. Then Tully Blanchard jumps in. And says,
oh, no. You skipped the best part of these little white boys. Sorry. I can say that because I'm white.
Oh,
I am.
This is audio, so I don't see you.
Yeah. So one of them, I don't know what, Cash.
Yes.
Was talking, and he said that they've waited too long, that the they've let too many, or they've left babysitters with their babies, and now Poppy's home.
Yes.
Qua?
The Poppies are home. Well, they're in Boston, so you have to say Poppy as many times as you get.
I don't think that's what they were doing. I think they were doing it because...
You know, the
Lucha Brothers, the whole... They won the AAA.
No, it's definitely them doing Spanish against them.
Yeah.
It's definitely a slag or a burn.
Yeah.
But it's Boston, so I mean, if you can get a Poppy line in, you go ahead and do it.
Who says Poppy?
Big Poppy? The Boston Red Sox?
Oh my gosh, I don't think so. That was...
Are you serious? Mm. There are kids growing up right now that are called Poppy because of that man.
I mean, okay, fine, whatever.
Wow. All right, two things just happened in this, guys. One, I'm a nerd for all sports, obviously, or just the pop culture parts of sports. I think that's fair. And
were there two people called Poppy?
No, there's just one. David Ortiz. That's it. That's it. There's the only Poppy. There's the only big Poppy. That's it.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Who's the home run guy?
What do you mean, who's the home run guy?
Well, his son is playing now, or was playing. He's not playing anymore.
Cecil Fielder, Jr.?
Yes, Cecil Fielder. Wasn't he Big Poppy?
No.
What was he called?
I literally don't know.
I swear it was in
Cecil
his driveway.
Cecil Fielder was before my time.
Cecil Fielder like, lived around the corner to me, and in his driveway, I swear it said Big Poppy.
My goodness. Are you going to make me look him up? I'll have to.
I mean, maybe the listeners can let us know. I'm just saying, there was something in his driveway. Anyways, not that I was rich. I don't want it. Let's back up. Cecil Fielder lived in a ginormous house around the corner in like five different like neighborhoods way, way back. I lived in a cute little house. He lived in a ginormous house. So, and then Tully started to talk and he said his thing, but I'm going to be honest with you. I blocked him out. I don't know why. And then the other one started, Cash and what? What's the other guy's name?
Dax.
Dax?
Yes.
Oh. He says they're going to fight for their lives and, you know. The only thing I remember from Dax is that he said, top guy's out.
Dax said, you guys do a lot of cute things. You do a lot of flippy things and flying things, which is why I know you understand them, because they speak your language.
Oh, because he stole, that's why I blocked him out, because he stole my words.
You know, he is stealing your gimmick.
I don't appreciate that, Dax.
Yeah, you should never.
You stole another guy's name, Dax Shepherd. You're stealing my gimmick, my words. Like, come up with your own thing.
Oh my goodness. Really think he copied Dax Shepherd?
No.
Okay. Regardless, after that, Dax said, I can only see Dax Shepherd now. This is ridiculous.
Sorry.
Dax Shepherd as a wrestler would just be so ridiculous.
He'd be like David Arquette in the ring.
He's better built than David Arquette.
Oh, yeah, but it'd still be, you know, same kind of caliber.
So you do a lot of really cute things, but the one thing you're going to do at Full Gear is you're going to fight. You're going to fight for your lives, and these two guys right here are going to beat you. Top guys, out.
Yeah. The lame part he didn't steal from somebody else.
Okay. What happened next? What was the next thing? Oh, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
Now, I love me some Cody Rhodes. I love everything about the Rhodes family. I like Dustin. I liked him as Gold Dust. I've liked everything that Dustin's done. I love the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. He was one of my favorite wrestlers.
Okay.
Absolutely loved him. So when Cody comes out, I want to hear his promo. I get annoyed when he gets booed. I'm happy when he gets cheered. All right? I'm a fan. I'm fine with it. He did the one thing John Cena should have done. He acknowledged the fan. Not said, oh, I love the fans, or I love all of you, I love the universe. No. He said, you have the right as fans to do whatever you want. You have the right to cheer. You have the right to boo. To both of these words, fans cheered him and fans booed him. He acknowledged that they had the right to do it. And he said, it is easy to acknowledge the man who writes the checks. But please do not forget the man who built this bank.
I like that. I did like that
and
part.
And he got a few extra cheers in that little segment, guaranteed. I believe Cody Rhodes did more in this promo to cement the fans that love him from turning to the booers. I don't know that he turned too many booers back, but he definitely kept all of the back and forth fence sitters firmly on his side.
As a person who would probably, I wouldn't have booed. I'm not a booer in general, but I did not, as we know, like the storyline.
No.
He did apologize to the fans. He apologized to the Nightmare family And he apologized to Arn Anderson and said it's an honor standing in the ring with him, which then sounds to me like, please get out of the ring. Oh, no. Was that too far?
No, I think you probably got that right. I don't think that's what Cody was saying.
Oh.
But I think it's what he should have been saying.
I personally, back to what you were saying, though, honestly, I feel like he did kind of turn me and I'm like, okay, all right, I'm okay with you. Please get Arn out of the ring, though. Like, I don't need to see him anymore. He doesn't need to be there anymore. That's my opinion. And thankfully, that blubbering was all interrupted by, what'd I forget?
The one thing that Cody did that was brilliant. He looked at them and said, I put Malachi Black, I hooked his one arm, I hooked the other arm, and I put him in the Tiger Driver 98, as Excalibur said so brilliantly. But I could have done another move. I could have dropped that move on him, stood up and sneered, looked at everybody, went back on my word, challenged for the AEW world title. But that would have been the easy way. It's not in my blood. I'm not going to do it. I am never going to turn. Now, the other move, because if you don't know how a Tiger Driver gets set up, the opponent's head's between your legs, and you hook both of their arms. Then you pick them up, and you put them in a pile driver. If he had not picked him up and just jumped up and put his face down, it would have been the pedigree. And that's what he was saying. I could have done the pedigree.
Mm.
And for a moment, he wanted to.
Mm.
And he wanted to stand up and sneer and say, but that's not who he is, because that's the easy way out. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Cody fan. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there was blubbering and butt kissing and all of that.
And then Andrade El Idolo.
Andrade El Idolo.
Comes down the ramp and says, people don't like you. People don't like me. You know the difference? I don't care. And that was, and then he said, you make stupid choices. I don't like your tattoo. Is that the
No, he said you made a lot of stupid mistakes. First stupid thing you did was that stupid neck tattoo.
Yeah. And then the second thing was that he got into Andrade's business. And then now Andrade is going to make him look like a little bitch.
Correct. That was pretty good. It was good.
Thank you.
Very nice.
And then it went dark.
It got completely black.
Uh-oh.
It's like the entire house, all the house lights went out, and the whole house got black.
And then I saw what you did. Yeah, I mean, good. I actually heard what you did, but...
Yeah.
And then Malachi Black is standing in the ring with Andrade and Arn Anderson and Cody.
Correct.
And spits his mist at them.
Spits his mist at... Cody.
So Arn goes after the assistant of Andrade, Juan.
Correct.
And that leaves Malachi and Andrade to start kicking Cody's butt.
Yep.
And then someone comes down the ring, comes down the ramp. Who would that be, Javier?
The Bastard. Pac.
Pac.
I love Pac. All right. I loved him in every iteration. Don't care. Indies, WWE. I love Pac. He is the man that gravity forgot. He is one of the best flippy dudes ever. And
it's just so fast. I mean, he's just so fast.
And he is fast.
Like the kicks are like, what do you call those muscles? Those fast twitch muscles?
Correct. That's what you call them.
Those are on point. Those are center stage.
And you know what? With the size of Pac's muscles, because Pac has some big muscles.
Right, which is why you don't expect him to move that fast.
But he does.
Because it's usually like, what is it? Runners with the fast twitch muscles. Correct. And things like that, where you're constantly... So you're just not... When he kicks, it's just like, did he just kick or did I blink? What just happened there?
Honestly, the idea of the thigh slap... which people do to make a kick more impactful so the audience can hear it. If it wasn't for those thigh slaps, no one would know he kicked someone except for the person falling down.
Yeah.
It would not work.
So now we have a clear, clear line of the, you know, the enemy of, or the friend of my, what is
the
it?
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that. Alrighty, so that was it for this. Let's see what's coming up next.
Wait.
What?
Pac looked at Andrade and Malakai Black.
Oh, right.
Out of the ring, and he ran at them like he was going to dive out, but they backed away. So he stood on the second rope and then did a backflip and sat cross-legged in the middle of the ring.
He did.
And then flicked them off.
Boy, did Malakai Black get pissed off at that.
Oh, Malakai Black wanted to turn the house lights off and burn the whole place to the ground.
I know how it feels.
It was amazing.
FTR ganks my lines.
Oh, I get it.
And
get it.
Pac ganked his move. Malakai, I'm with you. House of Black, dude.
I personally like the idea of Andrade and Malakai sort of being together in this sort of awkward, motley assembly of a team.
Sure. Maybe we could add one more. Wyndham Rotunda.
Oh my goodness. These two have history together.
Oh, I'm just trying to shoot him in anywhere. Let's get it done.
All right. Well, the next thing is the main event. See you after that. Main event.
Fun.
Man tag.
Fun.
Dark Order.
Fun.
The Super Elite.
Fun. I'm just kidding. It was fun.
All right. So this is the Halloween show for AEW Dynamite. So what happened is, nobody else has been in costume all night, but this main event had costumes. The Dark Order come out first, and it is Stu Grayson,
mm-hmm,
and Colt Cabana, and Evil Uno.
And John Silver.
John Silver, Johnny Hungy. I always want to call him Johnny Hungy, so I never want to call him John Silver. So that screws me up. I'm sorry.
To call him Johnny Hungy.
Right. So, since it's the only one that I know Adelaide doesn't know.
Thank you.
Stu Grayson comes out as Kratos from God of War, which is perfect.
Yeah. John Silver comes out as Bambi, which is what he said he would come out as, which is so cute.
I'm not going to lie. It was scary and sexy.
And sexy, yeah. Colt Cabana was the best, 100% hand down, won the costume party.
Yeah, you know, he won the whole thing. Now, so let's do Evil Uno.
Okay, so Evil Uno was just a cowboy.
Yeah, he came out as a cowboy.
Had his usual thing on, but had a vest. His
mask had a mustache on it.
Yeah, and a vest and a cowboy hat.
A vest on and a cowboy hat. And then the Super Elite, or the Super Click, came out with...
The Stay Puff Marshmallow Man. Well, because they were the Ghostbusters.
Yes, they came out as the Ghostbusters. The Young Bucks, Adam Cole, and Kenny Omega came out as the Ghostbusters. They had the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man with them and the baby.
The baby?
Nice. From the second movie. They even did the bit, like when they did Adam Cole, baby, they did that and the baby was standing in front of the hard cam so that they could get the baby in the shot.
Yeah, which is funny.
Mike, it was hilarious. But Colt Cabana did win all of the... He won the night with his costume. And it was...
Brandon Cutler.
It was so good.
With the little spray and the mask.
And the tracksuit. The
tracksuit was so awesome.
It was amazing. It was really funny. Like, it was just great.
It was awesome.
Colt Cabana, when he gets to do comedy, is just outside anything else. He's top comedy wrestler in all of AEW. And unfortunately, he doesn't get to do it as much as he should. But he's amazing.
So the whole match was just well done. It started with John Silver and Adam Cole, and they went back and forth, and it was a lot of really fun, good.
Well, no.
I'm not going to, like, we can't really go through all of the, because it was a lot.
It was, but let's do the one thing. Adam Cole learned that John Silver is stronger than him.
Is freakishly strong.
Yeah, it was great. It was very, very good. That part was amazing, and then... There was a lot of back and forth between the two different groups. The part that was interesting is that Rick Knox doesn't really take ref bumps, but he took a freaking super kick right to the face.
Yeah. I mean, they went from two people being in the ring to all of them being in the ring to two people to being outside to being. So it was very hard to like reproduce what they did. It was so much fun to watch, and to, it was just well done. All right. Eight very, very, very good wrestlers in the ring.
Spectacular. Let's do this. Let's talk about what we liked about every single wrestler, and then that'll be it, because we can't do the match.
Okay.
We
can't. Agreed. Okay. So, John Silver, what did you like about
it? I love how they put him over as the strongest guy in the match.
I love that he went around the outside and did a move on each one of the, he did the super elite
thing. Yeah. He went around the ring and just.
Yeah. Everybody. Just took them all out.
Yeah.
I like that. Stu Grayson.
Oh, well, I love the Kratos bit, but I love that when he gets on a roll, when he gets the hot tag and he gets on a roll, it doesn't matter how many people are against him. He makes them all look like they just got their butts kicked by him. The whole Stu Grayson is born and bred for combat thing is an amazing gimmick. And when he gets to show it in the ring, I mean, just the kip up with the
I was going to say, I was thinking, like, as you're talking, there's not, I can't pick out one, like the whole time he was in the ring.
Yeah, the whole time he was in the ring. That's what I'm saying. When he's on a roll off a hat tag, yeah. It's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. The whole time he was in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then Colt Cabana.
I mean, I already said it. It's comedy. It's just when he's in the ring, he's playing Brandon Cutler. Oh my God. He gets Matt Jackson in the corner. Matt Jackson's in the corner. Three people do move on him, move on him, move on him. Colt Cabana comes up last, and as he looks like he's going to do a splash on him or whatever, he pulls out the spray cans and just sprays him in the face.
It was awesome. Funny.
It was so good. He's just amazing.
I think there was one point in the match where Colt Cabana was in the ring with all four of them or three of them. I don't remember. And he does a backflip off the ropes. And kicks them?
He did a moonsault. He does a springboard moonsault from the second rope and took down a Matt and Nick Jackson.
It was good. That was my favorite.
He was amazing. So what about Kenny Omega? Do you remember anything that Kenny Omega did that was spectacular?
No.
Yeah, that's because he sold it as him being the heel boss and doing as little as possible.
Well done.
Which I loved. Because you know he can take off on anybody. He can definitely go off on anybody. And he didn't bother.
Yeah. We forgot to mention Dark Order originally came out with all of them.
Right.
With some of their people being in a horse costume.
Correct.
Okay. And then they went to the back. And then just the wrestlers came out.
Correct.
Okay. So what about Adam Cole?
Oh, Adam Cole is super charismatic. He's the most charismatic man in all of wrestling.
What did you like about him? Not what do you think of him as a wrestler. What was your favorite part in this?
No, that's literally what my favorite part was. He starts with the Adam Cole Bay Bay spot. Then he's wrestling John Silver and is selling for John Silver being the strongest guy that he's ever wrestled against. And he's surprised at how that's working. He sells whenever he tries to go for a move. It doesn't happen. And when someone doesn't move on him, he is so good at that. And it's one of my favorite bits.
Obviously,
when he's holding someone in like the camel clutch or the stretch, and the Young Bucks go back and forth on the ropes entirely too many times and then give him the kiss on the cheeks, that's hilarious to me. That always works.
Yeah, I did like when he first got in the ring with John Silver and he was like, what the heck? Like the look on his face was like so, it was classic.
It was very good. They're setting him up as a solid striker, so that's always fun to watch.
Yeah. The Young Bucks?
Well, they're the Young Bucks. They're the world's greatest tag team, and I fight me. They're the world's greatest tag team. FTR was great against them. That was fun, and the Lucha Brothers was great. The Young Bucks can get a 5-star match out of anybody, so when they're in the ring, they're just gold.
Agreed. Did I ask about Evil Uno?
You did not.
Evil Uno.
For me, Evil Uno, it's when he does the for this match, because there's so much comedy in it, even though there's good wrestling, it's when he does the leg catch.
Oh, he gives the leg to...
Right, but he did it two times. He did two different spots. He did one where he held Nick Jackson's leg, and then he ducked under it while throwing it behind him, so he kicks Matt Jackson in the face. Then he tries to kick him again, and Nick Jackson tries to kick Evil Uno again. And he catches, and Evil Uno catches the leg and then hands it to the referee and jumps up behind him to do a neck breaker. It really is some of the most inventive comedy spots out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my favorite part as well.
Yeah. And again, the Young Bucks and Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, back when Evil Uno and Stu Grayson were the Super Smash Brothers, that was their indie name. They were, it was great. They those four had matches against each other plenty of times. So it's really fun to watch those kinds of matches.
Yeah, so it was really it was a lot of fun to watch, and then what happened? We're talking about the end of the match now. So what happened?
Oh, of course. Apologies for not being there right on top of it. Forgive me. You were just so animated. I thought that something really.
Oh no! Like the one? No, I mean like.
Okay. Well, what happens is the horse, one half of the horse costume, comes down the ramp, and.
The top half. Just
the top half, just the horse head. And jumps in the ring and starts talking to the elite and all of that. And then they kick him in the... They nut him. And then they do a four-way BTE trigger. The Ghostbusters do to the horse head, which was magnificent. Then they pull the horse head off and it's Brandon Cutler with his mouth taped.
Because the whole time you're thinking Brandon Cutler was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because you can't see him. So now it's Brandon Cutler and the Dark Order take everyone out of the ring except for Matt Jackson. And standing behind Matt Jackson is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Who takes off the hood or mask part of the Stay Puft costume to reveal Hangman Adam Page.
And his cowboy shit.
he clotheslines Matt Jackson out of his socks. It was amazing. And then he Kenny Omega goes to jump him. He immediately gets Kenny Omega in what could have been Kenny Omega doing a backslide, but he's holding onto Kenny's legs and hits him with a dead eye right away. Kenny rolls out of the ring and they just clean house. John Silver picks up Matt Jackson. An inverted fireman's carry, and it's just, he starts spinning, and he calls it the spin doctor. Matt Jackson lands, and they pin him, and that's the end of it.
Yes. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. They're drinking beer at the end. Really, it's a great, it's a really fun, I don't want to keep saying great, but it's a fun go-home spot for the audience. The
yes.
Audience. So I'm happy with watching all of that.
Yeah. I'm so happy the Dark Order won.
I agree with you. Well, you're a huge Dark Order fan.
I am.
So it's good for them.
Yeah.
You know, because it's better when Adelaide's happy. You know, she writes in to Tony and says you've done a good job, and Tony's happy.
Yeah, he lives for my critiques.
All right. Well, we'll be back in.
To give our final thoughts.
Yeah, we'll give our final thoughts. We really appreciate it. All of this match, though. I mean. I'd say what I liked, but what I liked was all of it. And then I've already talked about the wrestling that I liked. So
yeah.
That's pretty much got it. Did you want to add anything else?
Nope. Let's get to that.
We'll see you for the final thoughts, guys. Wow. Just a really good night of wrestling.
Yeah.
Just really entertaining.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was good. It was. I think this one was definitely in how you leave them. It was a well-rounded show tonight.
This is a 4 out of 5 show. Someone was going to give it a rating. This thing is amazing.
Yeah, the promos, the wrestling.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, really well-rounded is what
I think. The last couple of weeks have just been giving you a little bit of everything that they have to offer. Heck, even John Moxley got a hardcore match out of something that wasn't supposed to be a hardcore match.
Yeah, for sure. What was your, it's difficult. This is where I generally ask you, what you liked the most out of the show?
I can't pick one thing, but I'm going to go ahead and say the 8-man tag was my favorite thing because yeah. I legitimately laughed out loud on several occasions.
I agree.
If that match wasn't in there, then I'm going to say Serena Deeb, Hikaru Shida, and Bobby Fish, CM Punk.
Oh, see, I agree. My next would have been Serena Deeb and Shida.
Yeah, I would put those I would put that match and the CM Punk Bobby Fish match up together. Because they just, they were a little different, but they gave me so much with the narrative physically.
Yeah. CM Punk was all right. It was all right.
Yeah, it was a tactical match. You already discussed how that's not your favorite.
Anyways.
All in all, it was the 8-man tag at the end.
For sure. It was great.
A lot of the promos were amazing. You know, there's only one thing that I think the show was missing would have made it a perfect show.
Wyndham Rotunda?
No, Adelaide, not Wyndham Rotunda, but a promo from Miro.
Oh, that's true.
I would have liked a Miro promo or a Miro run-in. Either would have been good for me.
To see Miro. He is trying to find his way back to his wife.
This is what I'm saying.
With bone powdered bones following in his wake. The man's busy.
He's busy. He's
the man is busy.
Regardless, I will say this has been yet another episode, a fantastic episode of Dynamite. And we like what we like.
Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Keep the emails coming. We appreciate them. If you want to comment, ask any questions, feel free to contact us at wlwlpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And if they want to check out your stuff?
If you want to read a mystery, there's two of them on there. You can go to www.AdelaideLorry.com.
Thank you all very much for everything. For Adelaide Lorry, I am Javier Augusto. Thank you.
Yay!